Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
We live in a society that puts a lot of importance on identity. We have social media platforms where you can project an identity that is often distant from reality. We idolize celebrities whose images are often based on faulty identities. The cyber world has even produced a modern problem of identity theft. If you're not careful, someone can steal your identity and cause you much grief. It has been said that you have three identities: how you see yourself, how others see you, and how God sees you. Only one of these is completely true all of the time, and that is how your Heavenly Father sees you. Anything else is a case of mistaken identity. I have followed Jesus for over 50 years, and I still sometimes forget who my Heavenly Father says that I am. The Scripture says, "We see in a mirror dimly." My desire in this message is to help clear up the mirror. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that you would have life and have it abundantly." Another way to look at this is the enemy of your soul has stolen your identity and replaced it with a false one. But Jesus came to show you who you really are, how the Father sees you. Today we will study Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, which has one of the best dissertations on our identity in Christ. I will use the pronoun you in place of us, just to help make it a little more personal. Beginning in chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." You are blessed, but the modern church culture has cheapened the concept of being blessed. "Be blessed" is the salutation of the day. I was at a pastor's luncheon one day, meeting and greeting fellow clergymen. "How are you?" I asked one gentleman. "Oh, I'm blessed," he said robustly. "I'm so blessed that if I get any more blessed, I'll explode." "Well then, God bless you," I said. Imagine my disappointment and relief when he failed to explode. The problem is that 21st century American Christianity all too often defines being blessed as having material abundance and good health and no problems at all. But what did the Savior say about being blessed? He delineates being blessed in what we call the Beatitudes, the opening of his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew chapter 5. "And I will pronounce the word blessed instead of the old English blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven." This really means to be humble. Poor in spirit means to realize how much you need God because of your own fallenness. "Blessed are you who mourn, for you will be comforted." Sometimes we think we're being punished or shortchanged when we suffer loss. But for the child of God, we can receive comfort. Jesus said, "I'm sending a comforter." And we can receive comfort that no one else can when we suffer loss. "Blessed are the meek, for you will inherit the earth." My mother used to say, "If the meek inherit the earth, who's going to drive the trucks?" But at any rate, meekness is not weakness, as some would perceive. Meekness is strength grown tender. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you will be satisfied. Righteousness must be your staple of life. Blessed are the merciful, for you will receive mercy. Remember, Jesus said, "Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors." I believe there's a little door in your heart, and the sign on the door says mercy. If you bolt that door shut from the inside, mercy can neither escape nor be received. Blessed are the pure in heart, for you will see God. I used to think that that meant if I was pure with no imperfections, then I get to go to heaven. But that's not how I read that scripture now. Now I see it as if I'm pure in heart, I'm going to see God everywhere I go. I see Him in nature, I see Him in the arts, I see Him in the scripture, I see Him in fellowship at church. I see God in everyone and everything if I am pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, for you will be called children of God. I believe this means to be a reconciler, not only to make peace between other brothers and sisters, but also to help them make peace with God. Be a peacemaker, like your Father and like Jesus. And if you do, you'll be recognized as a child of God. Blessed are you who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes you can be persecuted just for doing what's right or saying what's right. And if you are, there is a great reward for you. Likewise, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. You can be persecuted just for being a Christian. In some countries, it can still cost you your life to claim Christ as your Savior. In our society, the persecution may show up in more subtle ways. You could face rejection. You could have trouble at work. You might be an outcast just for following Christ and claiming His name. Your identity in Christ is to be like Him. Humble, touched by loss, surrendered, desiring true righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, a reconciler, committed no matter how you are treated. Now let's continue in Ephesians chapter 1. Just as He chose you in Him before the foundation of the world, that you would be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined you to adoption as a son or daughter through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will and the praise of the glory of His grace, with which He accepted you in the Beloved. Now, just a word about some misunderstandings of these phrases. The phrase, before the foundation of the world, is usually implied before the earth was created. But in the Greek, it is pro katabole kosmos. Pro is not just a reference to time, but it actually means in front of or in full view of. Katabole means cast down. The word for creation is ktesis. Cosmos means the world system, as in love not the world, or to be friends with the world is to be an enemy of God. The word for earth is ge, where we get geology. So before the foundation of the world would be more accurately translated as in view of fallen mankind. Now the word predestination also throws us a curve. Predestination means where you are supposed to go. I fly so often that occasionally my flight gets rerouted due to weather or mechanical issues or some other circumstances. I know people who have missed flights because they were late or they didn't clear security. My predestination is the original desired place of arrival. And your journey of faith may be interrupted by circumstances or even your own neglect. The boarding pass was authentic, but arrival was not a fixed certainty. Now, the point of this passage in regards to your identity is the Father chooses you to be His holy and blameless son or daughter. Here's some more words. Holiness, that scares some people. Holiness is not a list of do's and don'ts. That's legalism. Holiness is being made holy because God is holy, because He declares you holy. He has separated you for His purpose. Also note that it is about Him accepting you, not you accepting Him. Let's move on. In Him, you have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of your sins, according to the riches of His grace which He lavished on you. Your identity is one of being redeemed. What is redeemed? I know people who collect aluminum cans and they take them to a redemption center. The empty, discarded, otherwise worthless vessels are exchanged for cold, hard cash. Your empty, discarded life, considered useless by some, has been exchanged for something of value, something of worth. God made you in His image, and He sent His Son to die for you. Your identity is one of worth. In all wisdom and insight, He made known to you the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He set forth in Him regarding His plan of the fullness of the times, to bring all things together in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In Him you also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things in accordance with the plan of His will, to the end that you who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. In Him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed. You were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of the promise, who is the down payment of your inheritance in regard to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. Your identity is one of a purpose and a promise. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the boundless greatness of His power toward you who believe. It takes revelation from heaven to see yourself as God sees you. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and made Him head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. In order to see yourself as you truly are, you must see Jesus as He truly is. Now, chapter 2. And you were dead in your offenses and sins, in which you previously walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we all too previously lived in the lusts of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the rest. The nature of walking in the flesh is that it always produces wrath. We must put to death our old identity, We must choose to see ourselves in a new light. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the boundless riches of His grace in kindness towards us who are in Christ Jesus. So, since you are seated in Christ, who is above the power and rule of this world, you need no longer see yourself as subject to the world's view of who you are. You are not a victim, you are a victor. Now a very famous passage. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. The word workmanship here is the word poema, where we get our word for poem. You are God's work of art. Therefore, remember that previously you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the people of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who previously were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in His flesh the hostility, which is the law, composed of commandments expressed in ordinances, so that in Himself He might make the two one new person, in this way establishing peace, and that He might reconcile them both to one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the hostility. And He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. You are no longer on the outside looking in. Your identity is now not one of alienation, but that you are part of God's kingdom and family. Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I bend my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with the power through His Spirit in the inner self, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may also be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. The Holy Spirit in the inner man, Christ in your heart, filled with the fullness of God. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit radiating in you. And that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. You know, I have a problem with Christians who think that ignorance is bliss, or that, well, we just don't know, we don't understand. Whenever there's something that we can't figure out, we just say, well, I have to take it by faith, we're not supposed to know that. No, the truth is, we are supposed to understand these things. We have the mind of Christ. It says we can know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Remember, he said, the carnal mind does not understand the things of God, but we have the Spirit of Christ and the mind of Christ, and we do understand these things. So don't ever see your identity as being a dunce in the corner who doesn't know anything. We are supposed to know the love of God that surpasses knowledge in the natural. We are supposed to know the things of the kingdom of God. We are to know Him intimately, to know His kingdom, to know His nature, to know His character, and to know what He's doing in this world and in our own lives, and to be a part of His plan. Your identity is one of a person who is blessed. Blessed when you're like Jesus. Blessed when you're humble. Blessed when you're comforted by loss. Blessed when you're surrendered. Blessed when you desire true righteousness. Blessed when you're merciful. Blessed when you're pure in heart. Blessed when you're a peacemaker. Blessed when you're committed no matter how you are treated. Your identity is that the Father chooses you for His purpose. Your identity is that you are blameless in His sight. Your identity is that He has accepted you. Your identity is that He has redeemed you. He took your worthless past and made you something of great, great value. Your identity is one of purpose. Your identity is one of promise. Your identity is who you are in Christ. You're no longer subject to the world's view of who you are. You are no longer a victim, but a victor. Your identity is you are a prized and cherished work of art by the Creator Himself. Your identity is that you are no longer a stranger, an alien, no longer an outcast, no longer on the outside looking in, but you are part of God's family. You are part of His kingdom. You are part of the body of Christ. Your identity is you now know the things of God, the deep things, the secret things, the hidden mysteries to those who don't know Him. And your identity is one who is full of the power and presence and Spirit of the living God. I hope that this has shed a little light on your mirror so that you will see yourself the way your Heavenly Father sees you, so that you will find your identity in who He declares that you really are. This is Jim Barrier, and you've been listening to Since You Asked.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.